Veterans Day weekend. Before we start, let me just ask, is there anybody here today who served? Yes. Are you the only one here today that served? That's a shame. That really is a shame. Oh.
Right on.
Hoorah, right? Hoorah. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to go into all. I just want to know if there was anybody here who served. All right. Yeah. Sure. Whenever some people wear hats, you know, where they served, you know, and all. Usually I'll go up to them and I'll thank them for their service. You know, if you can do that. Let's not take our military for granted. The men and women who serve are incredible people. They're willing to lay their lives down on the line so you and I can meet here. It's simple as that. So I want to honor them today. So would you stand, please? Would you say the Pledge of Allegiance with me? Okay. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. And would you remain standing for the Star Spangled Banner? For us, it's more than a sporting event. Mm-hmm. That we are grateful for this country, and we still have the freedom to speak, to meet, to worship God, and to exercise all the provisions and the rights of the Constitution. as we come together today and we worship, you know, this was a week where some people claimed victory and a week where some people claimed defeat. Such is life. And we have to accept both. And I mean, I had a crack up, and they did this last time too, when the colleges canceled classes and all, because people were too traumatized. I mean, the only thing I can say to that is grow up, because life is full of disappointments and victories. But there's one victory that's sure, and that's victory in Jesus.
So good morning, church. Jesus gave his life for me. He shed his blood to redeem me of my sins. The crown of thorns, nails through his hands and feet, scourging, and the hatred of those who welcomed him as a king just a few days earlier. It's enough to discourage anyone, to say the least, but not my God, not Jesus. Though his disciples went running, he bravely sacrificed himself so that I could be with him in paradise. That's a clear win for humans. It's a clear win for me. That's an undeserved victory for me from the one who created me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has all the power, so much power that lightning flashes around him, the very elements dancing and acting out in his honor and glory. At that, all that power, all that strength, and he epitomizes love. He could have just blinked an eye and we would have all been gone. Instead, he sacrificed himself for all of us to bring us into his fold. I will follow him anywhere. I will love him always. Jesus, my Savior.
Sing a new song.
gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He created the moon and the earth. We have all seen his artwork during the past few weeks, the turning colors of the leaves, the orange and gold hues in the sky, in the skies. A God who produces such beauty can only be good. We have other evidence, as you well know, that God is benevolent. He died for us. He came to earth to show us the way to paradise. He created us to rule his creation on earth. He is truly a wonder and awesome in power. Thank you, Lord, for the leaves, the trees, the grass, and the seasons. Thank you for the way to you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Spirit who sustains us. Thank you for you. Why don't you read with me, brothers and sisters, Psalm 25, verse 1 through 3. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. So David works through adversity from his enemies and prays to God that he not be put to shame. And as we know, God loved David and made him king. David believed in God and loved him and trusted him. And David felt God's wrath when he screwed up and felt God's healing when he repented. Those who trust in God will be upheld by him, and those who don't believe will be shamed.
The reason why I picked that section of the psalm is because we have to stop trusting in the ways of man. There's not one political party that has the answers. Only God has the answers. There's not one leader that is qualified to lead in an honorable way except Jesus Christ himself. And so we put our trust in him and him alone. And we follow him. Hopefully that's the desire of our heart. So as we come into the new order, if I could put it that way, after the election, whether you agree with the outcome of the election or not, let me encourage you to pray for the transition of this country. And let me encourage you to pray for both our current president and our incoming president. Whether you like them or not, we're commanded to do that. So we have a lot to be grateful for. I want to pray also for Gloria, because she's had such a rough time in the hospital. Want to pray for Sharon, who lost a brother this week, and also for this young lady who was in an auto accident, who may be losing a baby because of it. I'm sorry? Erin. What, the babies or the... That's her name. Okay. So we have a lot for which to pray for. Continue to pray for our young people, please. And, you know, God has some good surprises. We had the adult Sunday school today, healthy spirituality or emotionally healthy spirituality. And it was a good time of sharing. We're in some very sensitive topics. And today I give the gold star to Andrew. He made a very insightful comment and gave us a lot to think about. So thank God for our young people who are involved. I'm going to ask for a couple of people to help with the offering. I don't know who we got here today. All right. You don't want to do it? That's fine with me. All right, we'll take the day off. All right, Joe, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, tell me about it. I'm right there with you. All right? I appreciate the help. Let's pray, and then we'll send Joe out for the collection, okay? Father, thank you for the blessings, the many blessings. We do bless your name. Even when things don't go our way, we bless your name. And we bless your name in the good times, too. And Father, it is true, you give and take away. You are God. You have the right to do that. And so, Father, we just thank you for the events of this past week. We think of Gloria in the hospital. We ask that she continue to recover. She's had a tough time this go-around, Father. And we just ask that you strengthen her body, take away the fluid in the lungs and all the other issues that she's dealing with. Restore it to some health, Father. Comfort her. I want to pray for Sharon. as she grieves the loss of a brother. Father, we know that he loved Jesus dearly, and he's continuing that love relationship with him now in heaven. We're grateful, and we're thankful, and thank you for the life he lived. Pray for the rest of the family, Father, that you would comfort them during this time. I pray also, Father, for this young lady who was in the auto accident. We pray that you would just restore both she and the baby within her back to good health. Father, this is a devastating thing to go through. And we just ask that you put your arms around them and keep them close. And Father, for those who have unspoken requests, we lift them up before you. And last, Father, I want to thank you for those who served in our military or those who are serving. What a sacrifice they're willing to make to protect us and to keep this country safe. Father, I pray you bless the offering, bless the gift and the giver. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Great hymn. If you don't know it, you should know it. Rejoice, the Lord is King. So can we rejoice today that the Lord is King? That's not going to change. He will be King today. He was King yesterday. He's going to be King tomorrow. And some sweet day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come back and reign from Jerusalem again. And so we look forward to this day. If you have your Bibles, let me bring you to Revelation. Revelation chapter 8. I want to start you off with a controversial verse, and the controversy has nothing to do with theology. It has everything to do with men and women. And if you notice the title of the message is, Will Heaven Be Silent? I want you to look at the first verse. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, referring to an angel, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Now, theologians kicked that around a whole lot. We don't know exactly why there was silence, but some theologians wrongly state that there was silence because there was no women in heaven. You better watch it. She's right there. We don't know exactly. Okay? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible. I would also suggest that we're in the middle here of the seals being opened, the judgments, right? This is probably around midpoint during the tribulation. And again, I could only guess at this based on other things, but I'm not here to develop the timeline. I think there's a lot truth as to what you say, Vince. I think surrounding the bigger issue is that even though we are about the midpoint going into the last half of the tribulation, the judgments that God sent to this earth for unrepentant people were nothing like we've ever seen before. You know, we kind of make a joke about it, and I'm sad to say that, but when I started the series, I said, listen, when we see what's going on here, and we see the judgments, and how horrible the judgments are for people who reject Christ, that should drive us to our knees and put a burden on us to share the gospel with people who need to know Jesus. Listen, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through these judgments. These are harsh judgments. You know what has numbed us? It's the same thing that numbed us after 9/11. Remember when the planes hit the World Trade Centers? I kind of knew it was a terrorist attack right away because I know how pilots are trained. And when they hit the tower, I actually called Mary Lou. She was working in the school system. I said, we're under attack. And she says, what happened? I said, well, plane hit one of the towers. I said, trained pilot doesn't do that. They will put the plane down where the least number of casualties would happen. And then, what, it was 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, the second plane hit. And we knew we were under attack. How horrible that was. And then not too long after that, the plane crashes into the Pentagon, right? I mean, it was a horrible, horrible day. 4,000 people on that day lost their lives, and countless thousands more because of the toxins and the residuals of that. And then there's the incalculable psychological events. It was a horrible day for our country. It was a horrible day for our world. And all for because of evil. Those attacks were evil. They were done by men and women of evil. That's not to say we're angels. That is to say this, that as horrible as those attacks were for the families of the people who died, for the ripple effects of all that happened, man, I wouldn't want to see anybody go through that. Israel just went through it, didn't they, last October? Horrible. Horrible. These judgments, starting with the seven seals, were bad. We read them and we say, how bad can they be? Well, they were bad. Worse than you will see until the trumpet judgments, which is the set of the last judgments. You see, Jesus tried to give us warning, or he tries to, when he says, according to the Jesus prophecy of the end time, that these judgments will be like birth pangs until he comes down from heaven and deals with it. Well, let me ask you, ladies, when you start to have labor pains, do they get easier as they go on? Kristen say, Pastor, don't do this. Yeah, don't do this. They get harder. They get harder. Bobby, we're going to have to give you noise canceling, because you're going to be the bad guy ultimately. So beware, okay? But you see, even pregnancy has a good end product, right? You have a baby. But Jesus used an everyday example to say, look, don't take this stuff lightly. These judgments are going to get worse and worse and worse. And the reason is not because God is a horrible God or an unjust God. It's just the opposite. The reason is because he's a holy God, and sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is what? Death. And we just came off a chapter where God gave them another chance to repent. There was an interlude. And God says, look, it's not too late. While you have breath, come. Come. And people, not all, but most, still refused. So now the judgments begin again. And I think that's why there was silence in heaven, because the prior judgments were so bad, it's like, this is from heaven now. Heaven knew they were going to get worse. And there was silence. Let's go through this. I have to go through this quickly with you. John says, and I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. These trumpets were specially prepared by God to announce these judgments. Trumpet is, in my mind, a royal instrument, if I can put it that way, right? Trumpets were used in that day to announce the coming of a king, to call people to war. Trumpets were used to make a great announcement. So seven trumpets were given to the angels and will sound before that judgment comes. Another angel who had golden censer. You know what a censer is? It's something that incense is burned in, okay? Gives me a headache, if you've ever been around that. But that's what was used for in the worship culture. And it says, the angel came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer. Notice this. And incense throughout the whole Bible represents the prayer of God's people. If there's anything you remember today, remember this. That when the people of God pray, it's a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. And those prayers are offered up to him. Sweet. And yet, God, not only in Revelation, but in the Old Testament and in parts of the New Testament, reiterates that sin is a stench in God's nose. Do we even use the word stench anymore? I'll give you my idea of stench, right? It varies for people. But one of the most horrible things I ever smelled was rotten eggs. The worst I've ever smelled, not to get gross, was gangrene. And, I mean, here's the contrast. Prayers are sweet-smelling to God, and he honors those prayers. But sin is a stench that has to be done away with and punished. So this altar is in front of God's throne, and look what happens. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. We're not talking about the angel just taking some fire out of this censer and just going. He hurled it. This is incoming like at thousands and thousands of miles per hour. That's the sense of the original language. And listen, when you have incoming from heaven, there are peals of thunder, rumblings of lightning, and an earthquake. A meteor hitting the earth, and this is much bigger than a meteor, by the way. A meteor hitting the earth would cause a violent earthquake. If the meteor is big enough, it can eradicate a good part of the earth. That's how much force it has. And I'm not over dramatizing this. This is the truth. Fire from the altar. Rumblings. Why rumblings? Because when something like that comes through the atmosphere, it heats up. And then when it cools down again, that's when the air masses come together and you hear those peals of thunder. This is a sign of God's power. Rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared them to sound. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed together with blood. And it was hurled down to the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the grasses, all the green grass, I'm sorry, was burned up. Put on your ecological studies for a second here. First of all, I can't explain how fire and hail can exist together. All right? Only God can. That's a miracle. All right? To teach us a lesson. But a third of the earth was burned up. What kind of effect would that have ecologically? Devastating. Affects the whole ecosystem, right? A third of the trees were burned up. Listen, if we didn't have trees, we'd have a shortage of oxygen. And a third, and all the grass was burned up. I mean, this is an ecological disaster. And this is not a result of climate change. This is a result of judgment. I want to hear how CNN, CBS, NBC are going to explain this away. Right? The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, like something like, can't even describe it, a huge mountain. If any of you have seen pictures of Mount McKinley or Mount Everest, I mean, we're talking about big rocks, right? All ablaze was thrown into the sea. Wow. Tidal waves like you've never seen before, right? A third of the sea turned into, what's the word? Because a lot of the life in the sea were killed by the impact. A third of living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships, this is interesting, were destroyed. Not only now do you have the ecosystem being affected, even now to a greater degree, but now you have commerce being affected. Remember when one of our supply ships got caught, I think, in the Suez Canal about 2 years ago? It got jammed in the canal somehow. And everybody rushed out and robbed all the shelves of toilet paper and all that stuff. The reason why they did that is because they were afraid they weren't going to get supplies. This is going to be on a grand scale. This is going to disrupt everything. And it goes on to say, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky. And a third of the rivers, this is the fresh water now, a third of the rivers and the springs of water, the name of that star is Wormwood. Wow. That name should be familiar to you. First of all, in the original language, it means bitter. It actually means poisonous. And if you're a fan of C.S. Lewis, Wormwood was the pupil of Satan in Screwtape Letters. And he was teaching Wormwood how to destroy believers. In this case, Wormwood is going to be used to judge unbelievers. Listen to this. A third of the waters turned bitter. There's no more drinking water. Or a great shortage of it now. Many people died from the waters that have become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck. How will that affect the climate on Earth? A third of the sun is gone. How will that affect it? Okay. It's going to get cold real fast. It's going to get cold real fast. A third of the moon. Well, that makes sense because a third of the sun is stricken, and that light's not going to be available to be reflected off the moon. How about gravity? A third of the stars. Can you imagine? The stars are innumerable. A third of the stars. And so that third, and a third of them were turned dark. These are other suns and other solar systems. A third day, a third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night without light. These are catastrophic. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair calling out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of these trumpet blasts, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Now, let me give you one of the rules of Bible interpretation. In Scripture, if something is repeated three times, it means you can't get any more than that. And it's significant in some places. Holy, holy, holy. In Scripture, to the Hebrew mind, means simply this: God is perfectly holy. You can't get more holy than that. In this, woe, 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 is the warning that these three woes are going to be so horrible. You need to be prepared, if you can be prepared. And God gives these announcements not to be vindictive, but to say, hey, look, while you have breath, come to me, repent, and put your trust in me. You know, we typically want to make God in our image. We will say things like, well, you know, if God is all powerful, why does he have to do this stuff? Why can't he just forgive sin? Well, it's very simple. When God created you and me, he created us to be humans. And to be human means that you and I have to have free will. And he wants people, his creation, to worship him freely. He doesn't want to, he didn't want puppets. He wants a love relationship with the people he created, and he offers his love because very early on in creation, Adam and Eve blew it. And sin came into the world and condemned all mankind. And the penalty for sin is what? Death. And God says, I'm not giving up on you. I'm sending my son to die in your place. To die the perfect death, to take on my entire judgment for sin, so you won't have to bear it, and you could be forgiven and spend eternity in heaven with God. Listen, this is a big deal. Sometimes I'm really afraid we water this down too much, and we forget the magnitude, the gravity of sin. We forget how serious God takes it, and we forget how serious we ought to take it. And then put on top of that, forgive me, I don't want to offend anybody, but how lazy we are about sharing the gospel with people who need to know Jesus. I said to you before, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through this. We need to get busy and plead with people. I'm talking about, when I say plead, not to, you can't argue anybody into the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't work. We know that. But build relationships with people so you can earn the right to share Jesus with them so that they don't have to go through any of this. Does that sound reasonable? Then why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? One of the reasons why is because we live in a culture where we put everything ahead of God. God's secondary. He's a second thought. If I have time, I'll do this. oh Lord, let's talk about tithing. You mean you want 10%? I'll give you what's left over. Oh, you want me to volunteer also in the church? I want to have time. Oh, Lord, you want me to come on Sundays? That's my sleep time, Lord. You know, I'm hearing some people laugh, but this is true. I'm sorry, this is the state of the church. You go eat at a restaurant, they want 25% now. You think 10% is a lot? They want 25% now. God is generous in that he helps us to save 90% of what we make. You know? Listen, if you are in love with a person, the percentage doesn't matter anymore. We should be so deeply in love with the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We should say to him, okay, Lord, I love you, so I'm going to be obedient to you. Lord, I'll see you on Sunday. We'll have good communion together. I'll be here Wednesday night or Wednesday morning for prayer, Lord. Men will be here for Tuesday night. And Lord, give me opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Help me to share it in love so that they don't have to face this when the time comes. How about it? I'm going to ask Kristen and Chip to come up. In the Kelsey School today, last class of this part of the semester, I'm going to be sharing chapter 9. You think this was bad? Chapter 9 is absolutely incredible. I'm going to ask on this last song. I chose this very specifically. We have a president, and we have a new president-elect. But they're only presidents. The only one that we are fully accountable, whether we know it or not, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are called to worship him. And I pray that we understand that the word worship means serve. We serve him. And a servant serves at the pleasure of the king. We just read some of the things that our king is directing us to do. Will we do it? Would you stand, please?
Our shield and defense.
can you put that last slide back up? Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. We're one day closer to the end, by the way. And here's who our King is. He's our Maker, our Defender, and our Redeemer and Friend. Let's pray. Father, would you dismiss us today with a sense of awe of who you are? And Father, please give us an increasing burden to be obedient to you, to worship you, to honor you, to serve you, and to share with others the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know we're one day closer to seeing this for real. Help us to be busy about your work. And Father, we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You're a good group today. You get a gold star. Have a good day.